You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres, pitchers and catchers. Baseball has officially started, Nick. We don't have to wait anymore.
We are in Peoria. We're not in Peoria. We're downtown. No. But
the team is in Peoria.
We also got on the line from Temecula, Dallas McLaughlin.
I'm on the line from Temecula. I'm not from Temecula.
Whoa. I don't know if that's true anymore.
Oh, how dare you?
Who are you voting for county supervisor up there?
Probably Brian Smith.
Don't know him. Don't know him.
I'm just throwing a guess out there on who's running, but it's probably something very white like that.
Well, you know,
let's just say there's a lot of Carl DeMaio and Daryl Issa signs up here. Not a lot of Najjar signs.
Yeah. Well, I guess we share the same district. So there's that.
Is that true? Do you? Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
We had Duncan Hunter forever. And I remember getting into an argument with somebody up here about Duncan Hunter because they thought he was doing a great job. And I said, how? How is he doing a great job? And they said, well, I don't know, but he's not guilty. And then I said, he literally pleaded guilty
to snorting cocaine with contribution money.
And they go, well, that's just fake news. And I was like, no. He literally pleaded guilty. Yeah.
And then resigned the day. We don't need to get into it, but yes.
Well, no, then he got really, then this was at a hot dog place up here. And then he got mad at me. He was like, oh, and then went outside and smoked a cigarette.
That's good.
So people here are very, very tolerant of minorities. Anyway.
Let's jump into spring training because spring training is here finally.
I'm very excited.
It's really, let's talk about it. I mean, the picture's coming back. I think I just get really excited by grass. I just get excited by guys working out on grass, throwing balls around. I mean, Kevin Acey tweeted a video of Fernando Tatis Jr. shagging balls, and it became a huge problem online, just the Tatis to center field fear is palpable out there. But just seeing the grass and people starting to get baseball going it's really nice.
Yes.
No, I'll tell you, just seeing the new uniforms, just seeing the new colors. I was looking at pictures the last couple of days and seeing, videos, interviews, and I just got a little heart, a little flutter in my heart. I was just really excited about this season. And I know we're all kind of down on the Mookie Betts thing, but at least they added some pieces, and at least we don't have to look at some faces that we were forced to look at for a while. And I'm just excited. I think I didn't think I would be this excited, but I am.
Yeah, when you go back and look at all the moves we've made, it doesn't seem like it's that much has been done, but a lot has been done.
Yeah, I mean,
there's quite significant changes.
Well, since our last podcast, the Padres have traded away Manny Margot, which maybe it was the time that I was going through in my personal life where I had just had a child in May, and by the end of that summer, they started bringing up. I think Hunter and Manny came up about the same time at the end of 16.
Sure.
And I really needed that. I think it was that's how it went, right? It's 16. But just him, he was like kind of the first guy. He was part of the Kimbrel trade. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, okay, this is going to be the first wave.
Yeah.
Turns out the first wave didn't really do much for the Padres. If we're going to count Manny Margot, Carlos Asuaje, Renfro, Hedges.
Espinoza.
Yeah. What happened just now?
Speaking of, he's been sent down.
He's on a 60-day.
60-day DL, yeah. And we have a new. I should have had it ready to
go.
No,
it's fine. A transaction. A middle infielder just got signed, and it's Not a big deal.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Well, and
But Espinosa's back on the 60-day DL. It's like he cannot.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I just so sad.
He's in the he's
second Tommy John.
I'm just expecting never to see him
ever.
You won't. You yeah. won't. You really won't ever see him. Hey, he's gonna come back at like age 32 as some lights out eighth inning guy for like two seasons, and then his career will be over. That's what's gonna happen.
So Matt Bush.
Exactly, Matt Bush. Yeah.
Breivik Valera, if yeah, I said right. it correctly. Okay. Sorry about that. Sure. I had it ready to go.
Yeah, but you know, sorry.
No, I think that what they've been trying to do this offseason, what it feels like to me anyway, especially with the firing, I guess you could say, of Darren Bolsley, is and Margot and Hunter and those guys leaving, is I just think they're trying to kind of change the culture a little bit. That's what it seems like anyway. And that's also why I feel like they were trying to get rid of Myers so badly, is because I think he and Margot and Hunter and Bolsley, they just kind of represent this era that the fans are done with and tired of. They represent that hopeful first wave and none of it panned out. And this is me speculating, but a lot of these moves feel this offseason really feel like that was the goal, is to kind of change the culture, get excited about this new crop, get excited about the next crop that's coming in. And I am. So I guess it worked if that was the intention.
What if we just started calling that group the Swahe Margot Renfro group, just the Green Boys? Andy's boys, you know,
Andy's boys,
because they just never they weren't right for this Tingler world, you know.
Tingley.
Sorry. But I think it is going to be different. I mean, hopefully, just having Tatis for an entire season changes everything, because it really was a different ball club when he went down. They shut him down for the rest
Night
of the year.
Day, yeah.
I mean, it, you know, hopefully we get 150 games of that instead of 80.
Well, yeah, I think obviously last year two things really changed the season. What Tatis and then losing Franmil. I think that we were losing. We weren't playing winning baseball, but at least we were having a lot of fun not playing winning baseball. And when Tatis was down and Franmil was gone, like the fun kind of stopped, and then we just went back to losing games. Okay. So I think this year, yeah, you're right. Tatis, a whole year is going to be great. And then they're also going to have all of spring training to play together. They'll come out, they'll have some new sugarcane chop or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I just think we don't have to see. I don't know. It's hard to explain because there was nothing wrong with Margot, but just not having to hope that he figures it out again makes me happy. You know,
we could just funnel all that into the Will Myers hoping to watch, you know, hoping he figures it out. We can have one of those, but not.
I like Will Myers, and I really do. I always have, and it bums me out.
You like him? You like him? Excuse me. You like Will Myers? I thought you hated him until.
No, I don't hate Will Myers. I don't.
I
hate
think
him
I'm
at
the
all.
Only one that has been discouraged by Will Myers.
Oh, I thought Dallas was anti.
There's a difference between being discouraged by a player and hating that player. I think that they have handled Will Myers incredibly incorrectly. And he has, and like we talked about last week with the trade and the whole, you know, Mookie Betts trade, like all they've done since they've got him outside of that first year of having him is screwed with his confidence.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That's all that they've done. And you look at it and you're like, dude, if I was that guy, I'd be like, what am I playing for? And what am I doing? Why am I here? Like, it's clear that they don't know where to put me. It's clear that I don't have really a place here. And he has shown that he gets affected by those little things. Some people do. Look at Greinke. I mean, Greinke has a lot of emotional anxiety issues, and there's like, and it's been well documented. And the same, obviously we know this with Khalil Greene as well, his anxiety issues. Like, so it's not like those things don't exist in baseball. Now, does that mean that, you know, I'm going to keep giving him chance after chance? No, I don't know where he fits and I don't know what he does. And if we could have gotten rid of him, I would have been cool. We got Mookie Betts out of it. Like, great. It's not like I would have missed him, but I just want them to actually figure out what they're going to do with him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's figured out, and I don't know when it will be.
Well,
Myers in center field, right? Isn't that what it is? Or is it Tatis in center field, right?
He's like a physical representation of how they do not know how to do anything, right?
Yeah, he's manifested physically.
Well, sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, you go ahead.
This morning, Michael Bauman from The Ringer wrote a piece about, you know, a general look at the Padres. I think it's healthy for us to look at these pieces when, you know, a national writer looks at our franchise. And, you know, he had some pretty critical things to say about not getting Mookie Betts, essentially. I mean, the Pecota projections came out. It looks like we're about 23 games below where the Dodgers should be, which sounds right to me. I don't know. I mean,
it still has this finishing second in the division. I know. Which I think is amazing.
But it is. They do feel like they are operating in a different sport. They are playing something else than what we are playing. But what did you think about that piece? I mean, I like Michael Bauman in general, but you know.
Oh, I think Bauman's great. I honestly think Bauman. When I know we're not supposed to talk about Jonah Carey, but when Grantland closed and The Ringer started and The Ringer didn't have Jonah Carey, I was like, oh man, who am I going to read for baseball? And Bauman has filled that role quite nicely. And he does a really good job with the podcast, the MLB show. But I thought that piece was great. One, I think it was great because it's a national writer focusing on the Padres, and the MLB show, him and Ben Lindbergh, they talk about the Padres quite a bit. So I know he gets excited about young players. And he loves Tatis and Paddock. I think the problem with that piece is that there was no problem with that piece. Like, I thought it was perfectly written. I think it encapsulated what a lot of the fans feel, that we might have missed one of the best shots we had at being relevant for a few years or the next year if we couldn't figure out a thing, you know, couldn't figure out signing Mookie. It did feel like we talked about this last week, it felt like a huge gut punch that we lost out on something and the Dodgers got it. And we and the Dodgers paid less in prospects, more in money, but it was a great piece because it's like what he was saying was like, this doesn't mean the Padres suck now. You know what I mean? He wasn't saying that. He was saying like, this is still going to be a really fun team to watch, but they're just going to be a lot worse than the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And who can disagree with that? Like, it's dead on.
Well, it seemed like what he's trying to say is that they've done a lot of clever things, and cleverness doesn't mean that you're going to make it. Like, you can do all the right things, and if you're competing against a team that's just has more resources and they've been more clever than, I mean, they've been smarter than us. So it's not, yeah, it's kind of.
I think the Dodgers also, you know, I actually take a different approach. I think that the Padres have been a lot more clever, and I think the Dodgers have been able to, luck into more things. I mean, who out there was going to think that Ross Stripling would have ever mattered for a few seasons? Who out there thought that Max Muncy would have turned into Max Muncy? Like, those things they lucked into. So I don't really think the Dodgers were smarter than us. I just think that they are able to spend money when they need to. They had a lot of good prospects, Seager, Bellinger, Turner's always been a mainstay. They got this, you know, Gavin Lux. They have a lot of talent. And then when they need to spend money, they can just go spend money. And I think that they're a better run organization, but I don't think that they're necessarily smarter. But we've talked about this last time. Like, AJ Preller can do a lot of really interesting things that make you go, oh, he's so smart. But then it also never seems to pan out. So,
yeah.
So our only real hope this year, besides something just, you know, the universe opening up and the Dodgers getting sucked into this weird void vacuum that we can't explain, is we're playing for a wild card spot. Like, that's our only hope.
Yeah.
Over the next couple of years, really, unless something changes. But we're really competing for a wild card spot at this point, before the season even starts.
And I'll say it feels good to compete for something.
Well, you know, like, as a mediocre high school student, Dallas, I think you could back me up on this. You know, shooting for bees never hurt anybody, right?
Oh man, I'll tell you, going through my mom's stuff, uh, I uh, I found she saved almost all my report cards. And yeah, shooting for bees was
the Padre way.
was what I did. I grew up a Padre fan, and that's how I lived my life.
So we do it in San Diego, yeah. I guess, right?
Hell yeah.
Klesko was my math class. You know what I mean? That's
we are the 83%ers. That does it. But
well, listen, I got to jump out.
All right, man.
I'll see you guys in Peoria, right?
Yeah, live for Peoria. We'll check in a few weeks, I think, with some actual baseball to break down, some real spring training baseball,
tangible stuff.
I'm actually gonna write something this weekend. I'm excited about that, so I'll post
awesome.
It on the site. Yeah,
cool. Yeah, follow Dallas at Dallas _ MC. And you got any other shows this week or anything?
Not this week, man. I'm just hanging out. It's Valentine's weekend, and I'm gonna just take it easy. And then next couple weeks I'll be back at the Madhouse. February 27th, I mean, it's sold out, so it doesn't matter. But February 27th, I'll be opening for Dave Attell for two shows.
Oh, man.
Yeah, which will be excited, but it's already sold out. So snooze, you lose.
Well, yeah. I've seen you open for Dave Attell. He's the best in the world. So
he's the best. Yeah, he's the greatest. I'm excited. All right, guys.
Cool, man.
All right.
Okay, we're going to go call Kurt Bevacqua, a former Major League player. And then after that, we're going to call Carlo Cicchetto from Channel 8 News. Here's Kurt. Kurt Bevacqua, former Major League player. Hey, Kurt, what's going on?
Nothing much. I'm going to enjoy a night out with my wife as soon as the show's over, and everything's good.
All right. Where do you go out at?
Well, I live in San Diego County, yeah. So we're up in North County.
Nice.
Along the coast in a town called Carlsbad. And been here for quite a while. Been here since 84.
Wow. Awesome.
So it's, I've seen a lot of growth and too many people.
I hear you.
And it takes much longer to get to the ballpark now.
Yeah. Well, hey, pitchers and catchers reported today. What do you remember about your first spring training? You played 14 seasons.
Well, my first spring training, if you're talking about the Padres, it's much different than my first spring training, which was down in Tampa, Florida with the Reds.
Well, let's start with the Padres, because that's...
Yeah. What was the
Sorry
difference?
About that.
Yeah.
You hear all of the negatives about Yuma as a player that does the spring train there. And I found it to be a fabulous place to spring train. The people are nice. You know, you get a lot of snowbirds there. It's like a lot of other communities in Arizona. People are just itching to get out of the cold weather and going to the sunshine is a perfect place. And especially when you combine it with baseball, but it's 2.5 hours away. It's not a place where you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble, which made it good. And I'm not saying that every ball player gets in trouble in every other spring training spot, but there are some where trouble's more apt to find you than not. Fort Lauderdale's a good example. And, any place where you've got, Phoenix, is a great place to spring train. It's much different now than it used to be.
Yeah.
The fields and the facilities are certainly big league now. I mean, before they weren't big league. I mean, when looking back at it, we thought we were in the big leagues going into spring training. We were actually still in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys have it now. These guys have it so good. It's pretty cool for them. That's for sure.
With the guys in from your generation, I mean, people always talk about it, how, like, you know, these players today, they work out all year round. I mean, was spring training more of a way to actually get into shape, or were you guys, is that just a myth or
something like that? No, it's not a myth.
Yeah.
That's exactly the way it was. Yeah. Matter of fact, it's one of the big reasons I played winter ball, because when I went into spring training, I was ready to go.
Right.
And I played winter ball for 10 consecutive seasons, right in the middle of my, well, not quite in the middle. The first 3 years I didn't play winter ball of my professional baseball career. And then for the next 10, I did. Mm-hmm. And I played for 19 years. So the last 5 years of my career, 6 years of my career, I didn't play winter ball. But those years in the middle, when, you know, a spot on the roster could be made or taken away from you in spring training, I look back at it, and there's probably a good two times, maybe even as many as three, where I made the team because of my performance in spring training. And I attribute it to playing winter ball and coming into spring training ready to play, having at-bats under my belt, and just being in better shape than everybody else that came to spring training.
Well, I mean, over your career, you played for a lot of different managers. This year, the Padres have a new manager who didn't really play that much at the top level. You know, going into a spring training, and he's going into this new clubhouse, he has to set a tone, he has to set a culture for the entire team. I mean, if you were a player going into this spring training, evaluating this new manager, what would you be looking for in the first few weeks?
I'm probably a really bad guy to ask that question to.
or the perfect guy.
Yeah, you see, that's true. It's all according how you look at it. Hey, you know what? I'm from Missouri now. You need to show me. So I'm going to sit back, and you'll get my respect when you earn it. Because they're bringing in people that shouldn't be in the positions that they're in. They don't have the knowledge. They're just puppets. And the game has gotten to a point now where it's really beginning to bug me. I've really, although I still love the game and I like to watch it, I've lost a lot of interest in it because of everything that they're doing to it.
Is that a style that's emerged based on, you know, maybe everything's basically a home run, a walk, or a strikeout? Is it that way the game is going that is the most frustrating to watch? I mean, it does seem like you played it in a way that was different.
Well, I did. Yeah. You know, I think that I'm experienced enough and mature enough to know that when you're doing something, if there's corrections that can be made to make things better, then I'm all for it. But there's some things that need to be left alone. And the rules of the game, I think, are one of those things that need to be left alone.
Yeah.
As far as launch angles concerned, and guys that are swinging from the hip and only concerned about one thing, it seems, and that's putting the ball into the seats. You know, if you hit 35 home runs nowadays and put up a 240 or 250 batting average, you're going to make a lot of money and you're going to be around for a little while. You know, those were pretty decent numbers back when I played. But if you you had to be a good defensive player to stay in a lineup, because there's going to be certain situations where they're going to take you out for a pinch hitter unless the game calls for a home run. Right. So, you know, though, I think the game would have swayed back towards players playing the game in ways that it used to be played if they would have left things alone as far as the rules are concerned and doing different things. I mean, having to leave a pitcher in for three outs really bothers me.
Hmm. Yeah, that's new this year,
yeah, that's
right?
Going to be an interesting storyline to follow this year. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Sorry.
Well, it's going back to things that need to be left alone in the rules of the game. You know, there's been so much talk about with such ignorance behind this talk coming out of the commissioner's office since this guy went in and followed a commissioner that was the joke of the game for so long. And he's got so many people thinking that he was such a great commissioner. And it's just a joke. I mean, it really is. And Rob Manfred is a student of Bud Selig. And it makes me ill thinking that Bud Selig is in the Hall of Fame. And it took Marvin Miller getting into the Hall of Fame to go before the Veterans Committee, and he just barely made it.
Yeah.
But Bud Selig gets elected just because of certain situations that happened, because they would have happened no matter who was in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems like he has fans, and they're the 30 owners, the 32, you know, that's it seemed like what Bud Selig was always out for, was just to help the owners. I mean, Manfred is got the position essentially because he was really good at, you know, negotiating with the players. With the upcoming CBA, are you going to be watching for how this plays out? Because it seems like we're headed to a real nasty fight.
Oh, I'm going to be watching real close, because what the MLBPA doesn't do for the veteran alumni players, once you leave the game, is of extreme importance to a lot of us players now. Huh. Because our representation is absolutely zero. I mean, there was a whole class, and I'm talking about 700 or 800 players, that was left out of a pension increase, the last basic agreement, and they tried to slide it under the table by bragging about how they increased the pensions of all of these players. What they forgot to say was they left out the class that had the most players in it. So will we be watching this close? Damn right we will. And there might be some podcasts coming up that people's ears are going to be ringing when they hit the airwaves, because it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be good. The union, if I was to make a prediction, mm-hmm. I would say that Rob Manfred, if he wants to, and I really think he does, he can bust the union very easily now.
Yeah, there's a
because these guys are making way too much money. And if you think a guy like Manny Machado, and I'm certainly not saying that Manny Machado would cross the line, but if you think a guy like that, Bryce Harper, Mookie Betts, whoever's making big money in the game, and big money, I'm not just pointing to $30 million either. I mean, I'm pointing at $5 million a year.
Sure.
These guys aren't going to want to walk away from that. They're not going to want to go out. They're going to be fighting the union to not negotiate as hard and just give in on certain things, of which they've already given in on so many different things in the last 6-7 years without even knowing it. It's a shame. Hmm. I mean, it really is.
Yeah. I mean, so the big news this week, I want to get your thoughts on it. You know, Manfred's dealing with this whole cheating scandal. That's, we can get to that later, but you know, he also allowed this new playoff system idea to be kind of floated out there. We all kind of saw it, you know, it's basically adding four more postseason teams and you'd have like a situation where the higher ranked teams would choose the other teams. But, you know, a lot of criticism towards this plan is that it is trying to give the owners an out for being able to spend less money on players, because you'd have more teams being able to sell to their fan bases that they made the playoffs. I mean, do you look at it like that at all? Or do you view that plan that way?
If you read into it enough and you've got skepticism towards the side that's putting it out there, hell yeah, you read it like that. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason to trust the Players Association or the MLBPA as far as players are concerned, because all they're going to do is negotiate what's in their best interest to make it just fly so everything goes on and is as smooth as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but you played in an era where there was only four playoff teams. I mean, just as a general baseball fan, are you against it, or do you like that spontaneity, or, you know, that excitement?
You know what? I don't have a problem with extra teams making it into the playoffs. Okay. I've never been a big fan of a wild card game.
Yeah.
I think it should be the best of three.
Yeah.
You know, just too many things. If too many things can happen in a 7-game series, as they always say, and as everybody knows, it's been evident. I mean, how many times did the Giants, who won 3 World Series in 5 or 6 years, how many times did they have the best record in baseball? You know, I think out of those two, out of the 3 World Series titles they won, I think they were the wild card team twice.
Twice, yeah.
So they got a bulldog in Bumgarner. They got some clutch hitting from some players. They got hot at the right time, and they went on and did it. And it's great. It's good for the game. It's good for the teams that that do have the best records in baseball. But I tell you what, you know what separates the Los Angeles Dodgers from the teams that won the World Series last year and the year before? Not the cheating scandal. What separates them is fundamentals.
Yeah.
And getting a guy over from second and third. If you go back to game 7 of the Houston Astro Los Angeles Dodger World Series that everybody's crying about now, you go to the first inning, find it on YouTube and recap that inning, and you'll see the difference between why the Houston Astros won and why the Los Angeles Dodgers lost. The game was won and lost in the first inning. So it's easy to find. It's easy to look up. And then anybody listening, and you guys also, go back in it, and you could see that Altuve and Bregman got guys over in the scoring position, and they scored runs. And the Dodgers got guys in scoring position, and they struck out because they were trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. That was the difference in the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, back in 1984, you were on the World Series team. I mean, did you feel a sense at the beginning of the year, a sense of, that this team was special, or that there was a real understanding of fundamentals in that way? Did you feel like anything in spring training that year in 1984?
There were always an understanding of fundamentals. Mm-hmm. When I played baseball. When I took the field, if you weren't fundamentally sound, you're going to get sent to the minor leagues. That's all there is to it. It was all about giving yourself up in certain situations, doing what's best for the team, not as an individual. We're looking at individual players, and these guys are exciting. I mean, it's fun to watch some of these guys play. Mm-hmm. You know, the Javi Baezes of the world and the Tatis. I mean, this kid is going to be such a great player, and he plays with a lot of flair. Manny Machado, he's another guy. You know, everybody gets ticked off at these guys when they hit a ball out of the ballpark and they do a bat flip or they take a lot of time rounding the bases. I really don't have a problem with it. They're lucky I'm not pitching now. But just the same, I don't have a problem with it. And if the pitchers don't want to do anything about it, then the hell with them. I'm going to enjoy the trip around the bases with Jose Bautista hitting one in the upper deck and flipping a bat and looking in his dugout and doing what all the younger players are doing. If you look at it, a lot of those players are Latin.
Yeah.
And I say that because you know what? Those guys love the game. They love to play the game. They've been doing that bat flip since they did a bat flip with bottle caps and a broomstick in a field in Santo Domingo somewhere. And they've been doing bat flips. And now they get to enjoy it at the major league level. I mean, it's a great thing. Yeah. But they shouldn't get pissed if a pitcher comes inside on them next at bat. That's the thing that separates the guys now from the guys before, because before we expected it. I mean, you didn't even have to go deep. If the guy in front of you went deep, you were going to get knocked down.
Well, I mean, you had a pretty famous dust up with the Dodgers. Some would say that actually took the rivalry to the next level. You had that dust up in 1982 with Tommy Lasorda calling him out, saying we should throw at him.
I think you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head. Yeah. You know, we had started to accelerate a pretty good rivalry with the Dodgers. I mean, you know, we were starting to play some good baseball. And I think and it was proven in 1984 when we won the West and the National League championship. But yeah, I think it did bring it to the next level. And I think it was a good thing. Because any time that you can get that extra adrenaline flowing, any time that you can look forward to a series that you're going to play, whether it's on the road or at home, I mean, I can't tell you how excited I used to get going in to play the Cincinnati Reds, the Chicago Cubs, or the St. Louis Cardinals. And you go, St. Louis Cardinals, what are you I can't tell you how much fun it was going in and playing in St. Louis in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got great fans. They had a hell of a team back then. And it was fun because of the fans. I mean, they would, if you're there on a weekend series, forget about it. You can't find a hotel room. I mean, we were lucky because the team took care of them.
Right.
But, you know, if you're going to go out to dinner after the game, you better get in there.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be packed. I mean, there's people all over. So, you know, that was fun times. It was good times. The players were different. I accept the changes in the game, but I can't accept changing the game.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad you made Tommy Lasorda that mad. I mean,
me too.
I have a lot
I
of
still enjoy it.
I really have a lot of reverence for Vin Scully, but I like my Tommy Lasorda a little pissed off. That's where I land on him. Yeah,
well,
everybody.
Trust me, it's not hard to do.
Yeah, we'll put a link into that whole story. For those of you who don't know it, it's a pretty good exchange you guys had in 1982. Well, hey, Kurt, thanks for coming on. You know, you hit the game winning home run of the only Padres World Series win, and
yeah, it's still amazing, isn't it?
It's probably, you could say it's the pinnacle of the franchise.
Peak, like, Padres.
Yeah,
right,
that's
there.
The highest we've ever been. And just throw on an appearance on the Kept Faith podcast to throw on the rest of your accomplishments. It's it's been fun having you on. So
there you go. Well, I appreciate the time. Thanks, guys.
So
asking me, and let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, let's do it. Are you going to have a podcast out this season? Or are you going
to
run it
back? I'm getting ready to ramp. Okay. And relaunch my podcast when 1090 shut down.
Right.
I stopped doing it, and I've been really busy at my other business, and that's the reason I haven't gotten it going up until now. But there's just so much stuff happening now. I mean, I'm chomping at the bit every day.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm getting my studio set up as we speak. So
cool. Yeah, we'll call you and talk about stuff and promote it when you get it out. We'll tweet out a link for it so people can find
it. Let's do that. I appreciate it.
It's called the Bavakwa's Dugout. Kurt Pavano?
Dirty Kurt's dugout.
Yeah, right. It's on iTunes now, but he's going to have more episodes later. So, all right, man. Hey, Kurt, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you later. Go Padres.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
See ya.
Thanks, guys. Yep. Talk to you soon.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and call Carlo Cicchetto from News 8.
Rolling down Imperial Highway, the big nasty red at my side. Santa Ana winds blowing hot from the north. We were born to ride. Roll down the window, put down the top, crank up the Beach Boys, baby.
All right, we're back on the line with Carlo Cicchetto from the Channel 8 News. What's going on, Carlo?
Nothing much, just driving down the beautiful 5. Listen to your guys' podcast, actually.
Oh, great, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how many people are going to be doing the same thing while listening to this. It's...
Yeah, we haven't heard any good Dodgers podcasts, so maybe they just don't exist. I don't know. Do you have any favorites?
I actually don't. I day in and day out, I probably pay more attention to the Padres, to be honest. It's funny. That's something I have to tell you guys. It's totally true. I'm absolutely a Dodgers fan. I grew up that way. But I root for the Padres always. The only time I don't is when they are playing head-to-head. And like playing that out. If the Dodgers needed the Padres to lose to win the division, I would still be rooting for the Padres to win. It's only when they go head-to-head. I've got friends that weren't there, like Bill Johnston. You know, I've watched them. I'm paying attention to what goes on with them. I root for them, especially the last few years, because, man, in the 2000s, when they were, man, drafting Bush and doing things like that, it was really hard to root for them in any way, shape, or form. They were not taking care of their fans.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I almost believe you on that. So we can.
I love hockey. I love hockey.
I'm sure you do. Yeah.
And I don't like any ball player that doesn't like burritos either.
Okay. Well,
I do pay attention.
So, you got Mookie. Let's just get into it. You got Mookie, and we didn't. Yeah. How was the week or so of the influx deal, you know, possibly falling apart? I mean, was it a roller coaster for you?
A little bit, not too much, because I think once you have the big components of that going, once you ring that bell, I don't think you unring it. I don't think that as an organization like the Red Sox, they may have been trying to look for ways to get out of it, but as long as the framework was still fair and right, I don't think they could get out of that deal. They ended up, according to some people, getting a little better out of it with getting Jeter Downs in there. But, you know, getting the control of Graterol for Maeda's contract and having a flamethrower in the pen, overall, I'm not sure that it hurt the Dodgers. But I wasn't too worried. I was pretty sure it was going to still go through. And I was still kind of confounded that the third richest team in baseball was purging possibly the second best player in baseball for prospects to cut salary.
Yeah, it is a bizarre, fascinating deal, because both the two big franchises ended up below the luxury tax. So that's an amazing time in Major League Baseball right now.
It's wild.
Yeah. Well, you've had a wild off season. You got Mookie Betts, and I think from your perspective, you won two World Series. How are you doing with this championship offseason that you guys have had since you got two world titles that and
bang a trash can a lot.
And the thing that's more valuable is you got the victim narrative that, you know, it was stolen from you. So what is the how's it feel to be a champion after waiting so long from 1988?
Yeah. Hey, I don't think any. Well, I hope no Dodgers fans are claiming the championship, but I would like to see that vacated, because that's just wrong. You know, I mean, you know, you can't just give them to it, because they cheated in their series before. I don't know. The Dodgers might have fallen apart over whoever they lost in the AL. They might have folded against them. So I can't say that, but it's just bad for the – it's just lame. It was really weird how hot the Astros were, and now it really makes sense because it was crazy how they were just launching off of good pitchers.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the best pitchers of all time, Clayton Kershaw. I mean, I'm sure you've...
Except in the playoffs.
I know. Thank you for saying that. But
those splits were ridiculous. It's a bummer. It's a bummer that a guy that's as good as Kershaw, whoever he plays for, but that what may have been his best chance to straighten out that legacy and to get a world title was cheapened that way. You know, he's whether you like the Dodgers or not, it's hard to take shots at Kershaw. That's the guy who goes out there. He's been incredible. He's a good competitor. He's a good citizen. You know, he didn't deserve that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like taking shots at Kershaw, but I actually live for that, Carlo, if I'm being honest. But it is.
That's
it
just
is,
the Padre fan in us, though.
If you're a baseball fan, he is. I mean, I don't know where he's going to end up ranking wise all time, but it's one of the great runs of all time. And to have that, you know, have that be a part of the legacy that it's always going to be wondered, like if the Astros had been playing straight, like would he have a title?
What would have happened?
Yeah, it's a bummer. I mean, they've really thrown the whole sport into the ringer. I mean, I saw last week a player that was on the Blue Jays, I believe, sued the Astros or sued Major League Baseball for, you know, having his last appearance in the game. It was at their park and he got shelled and he felt like, you know, something was happening then, but yeah, it's a big mess.
There's a little better feeling in that. Okay. So they didn't really completely choke that series. There was something going on there, but it's still not the title. You know, it's still not the World Series Championship. They still, you know, it's still been since 1988. And I was at game 2 that year and loved every minute of it. But it's still been that long since they've been champs. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, there was way more pressure on them. It was way more important for the Dodgers to get Mookie Betts, in my opinion, than it was for the Padres. I think the Padres are playing the long game right now, and who knows if they would have signed Betts. The Dodgers really... they need a World Series for that ownership group and for Friedman. Those guys are, to legitimize their organization and to legitimize what he's been doing with the organization being Friedman. Done a great job, but he needs that. So they kind of had to go all in, even though they really didn't have to give up that much, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Pecota projections came out this week, and you know, Michael Bauman from The Ringer wrote a piece about it and kind of talking about that trade. It was really good that you know, they have them projected about 23 games ahead of the rest of the NL West. I mean, we got number 2 though, don't worry about it.
What's funny, digress real quick on that, because you were asking me about worrying about the trade over the weekend when there was rumors that it was going to fall apart. You know, Stephen Woods put out a tweet kind of anticipating it falling apart with Glee. And it was, if the Dodgers trade falls through, ... My response was, what? They'll win the division by 10 games?
Oh,
and if you look at the Dakota stuff, it was about right.
Yeah. If it didn't happen, they should walk away with the division. It's not even close. But I mean, if they go all the way and they have another monster season, and they should, because they have one of the great outfields I've ever seen. I guess AJ Pollock's no slouch either. You know, it's what will happen to everybody involved if this? Do you think like a Dave Roberts firing would be the natural progression? I mean, it's hard. We're kind of have some distance from the postseason, but you know, what will happen to this franchise and the fan base if it doesn't happen this year?
You know, I think if they don't win this year, there could be real ramifications organization-wise. But I will say that another side effect of the whole Houston and possibly Boston cheating. That hasn't been fleshed out yet. We don't have any proof of that.
Yeah.
But it kind of reframes Dave Roberts.
Huh.
Like whether you viewed him, if he was being viewed as part of the problem by some, they now have to kind of stand back and reassess everything that he's done. And what he's done is won a lot of divisions. He's done pretty well overall. So that's it, coming off of that revelation, it's hard to know. I guess it just depends on how the season does end. If it ended in game 7 of the World Series and they just got beat by a better team, you know, no big mistakes or something like that, they just got outclassed, well, you know, then maybe you're just reshuffling the deck. But if they don't make it out of the first round this year, then I think you're starting to really look at some real decisions possibly being made.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Manny bet his contract that the Padres will get their World Series win before the Dodgers, and he with Mookie now. I don't know. I'm gonna hold him to that. I think the Padres are gonna do it first. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Who, you know what? The Padres, to me, I keep telling hardcore fans, it just, there's a lot in common with what Kansas City did. You get that critical mass with all those incredible arms. You've got one homegrown superstar. Please God, keep Tatis healthy, and you can build around that guy. It can happen, and it can happen a little bit quicker than people think. But everything has to go right. You know, prospects are prospects. They got to turn into players. But they have, when you guys look at all the minor league reports, you know all the prospects. When you see what they have, they're doing really good things. This is the Padres organization of the 2000s. This is an organization that is really investing and developing talent. And that's the big difference. It matters. You can be cheap on the major league level or cheap in the minors. You can't be cheap in both. And that's what the organization used to be. Now they're spending money in the minors and we're seeing good results.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can be nipping at your guys' heels and have a good 2020 season. Hey,
I think we can all look forward to Paddock against Bueller.
Yeah, that's that'll be fun.
That, every time those guys go head to head, it's going to be a blast.
Yeah. Hey, before I get you out of here, Carlo, I saw Matt Kemp is headed towards Miami.
We won the trade again.
Yeah, you did. Well, you could follow Carlo on Twitter. He's a great follow, especially during Dodgers Padres series.
Yeah.
I've often called him one of the good ones. He's a lot of fun.
That.
So follow him on Twitter and check out his show on Channel 8. So thanks again,
you
Carlo.
You guys do a fantastic job. Keep it up.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later this season, maybe.
Cool.
Okay. See ya. Bye. Afraid of Cubs.
The Padres are
ball busters.
Well hit deep right. At the fence, it is going in.
Right center field, way back there, near, going, it's gone.
Great play, off balance, throw to first. They got him, a sensational play by Alan Wiggins.
2-0, high fly ball, well hit right field, look out. Maldonado at the wall, Terry Kennedy, home run.
Drive to deep right field. If it's fair, the Padres will have the lead. It is a fair ball.
Going back is Reynolds, and it's
good. Of the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, The Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's Erin at VOSD.org.